Morena, whānau. Yeah. Wasn't Kieran good last week? I thought he was awesome actually. I'm a bit jealous of his easy style. He wasn't even looking at notes. I'm looking at notes just for this part. Yeah, I'm quite impressed, and I really like the message too. I really like how he talked about being sent and actually going when you're being sent. I like that. And I really like how God can use everyone. Now, I was reminded of something that I read at university. Kieran talked about the metaphor. He remembered it because it was broken. I remembered this one because I didn't have a clue what it meant. That's why I remembered it, because I tried to figure it out and I just couldn't figure it out. But it's a quote from somebody that everybody quotes. The medium is the message. So the medium is the message. When they're talking about mediums, they're talking about something you use to communicate. So a phone or I think it was about TV originally, but then they use it about the internet. Then I never understood it, but I think when thinking about Kieran's sermon, I think that the medium is the message. So the person who's bringing the message actually is the message at the same time. So we are not perfect, we're broken, and just bringing that and being real and bringing who we actually are is a message in itself, and I thought that was cool. So even though I don't understand that saying, I'm going to use it now. So talking about mediums or communication, who here has a smartphone? Okay. But I don't actually care if you have one or not. It's just starting it off. But so with my phone, I have a smartphone. And I do a few things with it. I make calls, send some texts, Google some things, find some directions, take some photos, use Messenger, and that's pretty much it. But apparently my phone can do a lot more than that. If I talk to Jamie over here, he will tell me all the things that my phone can do. And I listen and I think, oh, that's cool. Yep, that's good. But I'm pretty comfortable with what I already know. I don't really need to do any more. I don't generally try to do what he tells me I should do. But he's very passionate about technology, and I will listen to him. And I know that what he's talking about has made a difference in his life. But to me, it's sort of secondhand information. It sounds pretty complicated to me. Like something I might not understand even if I tried to learn it. So maybe I think this stuff should be left to smart people like Jamie, not me. Yeah. No, you are. You are smart. Yep. I'm a bit kind of tech phobic. The kind of person who wants to keep things simple, so generally I think that's good for you, but I'm happy with what I already have. Okay. Now, I've been talking to Ivan since I got here, and every time I talk to him, he tells me more things about what God has done and what God can do. And I listen to him and I think, wow, that sounds awesome. He's very passionate, so I can tell that what he's experienced of God has made a big difference in his life. But to me, it's still secondhand information. It sounds difficult. It sounds like it requires a lot of faith and discipline. And even then, I'm not sure that someone like me can really experience what he's talking about. Maybe it's just for people who have been blessed with the gift of faith, like Ivan. I'm not sure it's for me. Plus, I'm pretty skeptical. My automatic response is to question. And my faith is based on largely on things that I've seen. If I can see it, then I can believe it. I'm pretty skeptical about faith, healing, prophecy, moves of the Spirit, things like that. And I'm the kind of person that likes to keep things simple. So I'm tempted to think that's good for you, but I'm quite happy with where I'm at and what I know. Do you, any of you identify with that? Yeah? Yeah, I thought you might. So that's what I'm like. I'm naturally skeptical. But over the last couple of months, God has been reminding me that He's bigger than the box that I put Him in. And while my faith is based on experience, while that's good, it's also possible to believe for things that I haven't seen. In other words, God is far bigger and can do immeasurably more than I could ask or even imagine through His power that is working in us. And that's from Ephesians 3:20. If you could put that on the screen, Paul, that would be good. And we'll just leave it up there. So when it comes to God and spiritual things, I'm a skeptic. I don't automatically believe. I'm the kind of person who doubts and questions and tests things before I believe. In short, I need to see evidence before I believe, generally. But God has been incredibly patient with me, and He has again and again given me the evidence that I've asked for. And this way, my faith has grown. I trust God more, and this is allowing me to have faith for things that I haven't seen. You may have heard that we prayed for Chris here. Is Chris here? No. We prayed for him right up here, and his eye was healed. I'll just tell you the story. So it happened right in front of me. Chris came up for prayer. One of his eyes was facing over this way. We prayed for him. A group of people prayed for him. Then Ivan came over and prayed for him. And he said, "I can see you." And when I looked at him, his eye was straight, like the other one. Now, I don't know how to explain that. That's just crazy. But that didn't stop me from trying to explain it. So in my mind, I was thinking, so he said, "I can see." I'm like, he's getting a bit carried away. I thought, can't be right. And then when I saw his eye, I was like, maybe he had an operation during the week. No, really, that's what was happening in my mind. But those explanations just didn't work. We asked God to heal Chris's eye, and it was healed. So the most obvious explanation was that God healed his eye. I need to turn the page. I'm still on my notes. I had to admit that. But I didn't have to admit that God answered my prayer. You know, Ivan was there, so I kind of figured that was mostly Ivan and his faith, and maybe Chris as well. Didn't really think it was me. Now that I think about it, it's a bit ridiculous to work out exactly how much of everyone's faith went into that. It doesn't make sense. But that's what I was doing in my mind. Just giving you an insight into the way I think. But after all that, I had to admit that it happened. And if either Ivan or Chris or anyone did that, then I could too. Yeah, if they can pray for someone and they can be healed, then I can do that. And this just blew my mind. And actually, my mind is not fixed, hasn't been fixed yet. I'm still just I don't know what to think. So before this happened, I believed in miracles. I believe that God created the world from nothing. I believe that He created people. We've got a new baby, and He is a miracle. He's pretty awesome. And I've seen God transform people's lives, including my own, in ways that I can't explain. I've been given money when I really needed money, and things like that have happened when I've been praying. And I believe the Gospels, they've got miracles in them. I believe that. And, you know, I've talked to people who said they've had miracles, and I believe them because I trust those people. And I even sort of believe about some miracles that happen overseas. I think, oh, yeah, that could happen over there because they have a lot of faith and they need it because they don't have medicine or something like that. But I wasn't prepared for a miracle to happen right in front of me. I just wasn't ready for that. I wasn't expecting that. I should have been, because I was praying for that, so I should have been expecting it, but I wasn't. But that's not actually the end of the story. So I told my Friday Bible study, I do a Bible study with people learning English, I told them about this, and they were a bit skeptical. And it was funny, because Zoe was there, and Chris goes to Zoe's Chinese class, so she's like, yeah, that happened, as I was like this, now it's like this. So they were a bit confused by that. And then one of my students, a couple of weeks later, said, can you pray for my eyes? Because I've had trouble with my eyes for years. I've had operations. It's like she said, it was like a lot of pressure, a lot of water in her eyes, and it would give her headaches and then make her sick, and she couldn't see properly. So I thought, you know, I couldn't deny that could happen now. So I thought, okay, God might actually heal her. So I'm going to get everyone to come around, and we'll lay hands on her. So if God heals her, then they will see that, and they will be part of it. And so we did that. We prayed for her, and then she came back a couple of weeks later, and she said, oh, I just want to say thanks because my eyes are fine. I haven't had any problems. And every time I see her, I keep checking. How's your eyes? Oh, yeah, good. And she was quite calm about it, but it was quite amazing. And my students, it's quite funny because my students are a bit skeptical. So they were like, how long can you watch TV for? And she's like, 3 hours. And then she's like, and I can paint for as long as I want. So that was pretty cool. That was pretty awesome. So like I said, these kind of things have messed me up a bit, because I think if God can do that, then what can't He do? Yeah. Is it possible that my view of God is too small? And the answer has to be yes. And I might just be so bold as to say that maybe your view of God is too small as well, because He can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. According to His power that's at work within us. Still up on the screen, that's good. So now, when I read the Bible or hear stories of miracles, before I would have been like, and now I'm like, maybe, it could happen. Yeah, it could happen. It is possible. I can't deny it. And it's not like I don't have doubts. I don't always know that God will do what I ask Him for, but I know that He can. It's like before the scales were tipped for me towards doubt, and now they're tipped towards faith, which is pretty awesome, actually, because for me, the scales have always been tipped towards doubt. So it's a big thing. I thought I would always be like that, because I thought that was my personality. But apparently it's not, so that's good. I think that most people come to God with a lot of skepticism. To many people who aren't Christians, many people outside of the faith, Christianity is just ridiculous. In their view, Christians believe in an imaginary friend because we can't face the cold, hard reality that what we see is all there is. Now, I'm not actually knocking that view because I understand it. To those with no experience of God, Christians look like naive little children. They don't get it. But what these people often don't understand is that many Christians have just as much trouble believing in God as they do. Often God's ways seem foolish to us, even to us who do believe. We don't check our brains at the door when we come to church. The difference is that many of us have had experiences that we can't deny. Much of my journey of faith has involved resisting belief until I no longer have a choice. Far from acting on blind faith, I've found that often I've been like Jesus' disciple Thomas, who refused to believe that Jesus had risen until he saw him with his own eyes. So I want to have a closer look at that story because I think it shows us something of the character of God. It's in John 20, 20 to 29. Yeah, if you could put that up. Just to put it in context, this is just after Easter Sunday, where Jesus rose from the dead and appeared to some disciples. So reading from 24. I can read it from up there. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now, I identify a lot with Thomas. He had just seen Jesus die on a cross, and suddenly his friends were saying that Jesus was alive. I think it's all right to question them a little bit. I think that's pretty normal. I think if they hadn't seen Jesus, they wouldn't have believed that story either. So I think Thomas gets a bit of a bad rap. But I think wanting some proof is reasonable. But my favorite part of the story is what Jesus does. He just gave him what he asked for. He gave him the evidence that he wanted. And Thomas responded by saying, "My Lord and my God." And this story kind of mirrors what faith has looked like for me. God has been so faithful that he has often brought me to a place where not believing actually required more faith than believing. And like Thomas, I have to respond with wonder and just say, "My Lord and my God." So much of my faith is built on things that I've seen, but Jesus' response also shows me that there's another way. Because he says, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." So to me, this means that you can get to God through questioning, doubting, bringing those doubts to God, and then reluctantly choosing to believe, which is kind of how I got there. You can do that, and God is faithful, and that's okay. But there's also another way. That is the long way round. There's a shortcut. You can just believe. Yeah, you can just believe. It is possible to believe for things that we haven't seen. Now, recently, we've been seeing God do some things around here that we haven't seen before. Now, we could sort of stretch our faith to accommodate that. We could just stretch it out just a little bit more and go, okay, that's good. And that could be our sort of new normal or our new faith, just a little bit bigger. But I think God wants to do more than that. He wants to do things that we haven't seen. My point is not that God can heal people's eyes. My point is that God can do whatever He wants. So let's just throw open the gates. Let's just jump out of the boat, smash the box that we put Him in, and just acknowledge our own inability to comprehend and the awesomeness of God, and just ask forgiveness for trying to put Him in a box. Yeah. We need to respond to God humbly, and we also need to respond to Him expectantly. We need to expect that He will do more. Yeah. Because whatever you've seen Him do, whatever you've heard that He has done, whatever you could imagine that He could do, He can do more. Yeah. So soon I want to give you a chance to respond. So I will ask the music team to come if they can. So for me, something changed when I saw those miracles happen. So I can point back to those moments and say things are different now, and they will be from that point on. So my understanding of God is not the same. In the Old Testament, in the book of Joshua 3 and 4, there's a story about Israel crossing the Jordan River. They were crossing into the promised land, the land that God was about to give them. And God told them that He would dry up the river for them so they could cross on dry land. And He did that. And He told them, when you go across, take 12 stones out of the river and build a memorial beside the river. To remind future generations about what I did here. So I am asking you, if you believe this stuff, maybe come up the front, because for you, that can be a memorial. You can say, from this point, I know that God is speaking to me here. I know that this is what He's saying, that He can do more. If you, by coming up the front, that can become a memorial. The interesting thing about Joshua is that's just the beginning of the book where they cross over the river. God did a lot more amazing things since then. After that, and He will do that with us. So, in my life, I have memorials. So I have points where I can look back on, and I can say, God did something here, and I haven't been the same since then. And I go back to those memorials when my faith gets tough, when things get tough. And I really need them. I need to go back and go, oh yeah, He did that there. And that means He can do more. He can do more now. So, I'm encouraging you to make that a memorial today. And believe for things that you haven't seen. So if God has been speaking to you, I encourage you to come up the front and pray, and let that action be a memorial so that you can look back on it and say, God did something here. He spoke to me, and because he did, I can be confident that there's more to come. Okay. Thank you. I just want to bring a benediction from Ephesians. So Ephesians 3, 20 to 21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.